Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
When I get to the bottom, I go back to the top of the slide. Well, stop.
On the other hand, is the most embarrassing thing we've ever invented in mankind's time on Earth. Oh, so you can't do the work. Is that what you're telling me? You can't figure it out? This seems to be the justification of AI. I couldn't do it. This is something to be embarrassed about. The ad campaign for ChatGPT should be the opposite of Nike. You just can't do it.
Jerry Seinfeld speaking at Duke University for the commencement. And what I thought was an extremely good speech, what I think I'm grateful to the nitwit protesters who decided to walk out 30 out of 7,000, that got the news in what is generally the mistake my industry makes, which is focusing on the exception instead of the general truth. You know, 6,970 people stayed, 30 people walked out. Ooh, you know, don't focus on the nitwits, focus on the general truth. Anyway, this section on AI was sort of interesting, but it's a setup for what he was going to say that I thought was particularly good.
What I like is we're smart enough to invent AI, dumb enough to need it, and still so stupid we can't figure out if we did the right thing. Making work easier, this is the problem. So obsessed with getting to the answer, completing the project, producing a result, which are all valid things, but not where the richness of the human experience lies. The only two things you ever need to pay attention to in life are work and love. Things that are self-justified in the experience, and who cares about the result. Stop rushing to what you perceive as some valuable endpoint. Learn to enjoy the expenditure of energy that may or may not be on the correct path.
You might get a wrong answer, but it's not the answer. The AI to facilitate the doing of the thing. This is what I keep saying about, you know, people who don't, young people particularly, who haven't really learned how to write, so they rely on AI to do their writing for them, and they never really get the joy of expressing themselves through language, and they never acquire the ability to more effectively and poignantly express. I mean, English is an amazing language. We have 20 words for every concept. That's one of the most frustrating and beautiful things about the language, is that you can say the same thing 1,000 different ways with different nuance, different meaning, whether it's humorous or painful or poignant. It's a language built for poetry, built for prose, built for romance, built for vitriol and polemic and editorial. Now we're just going to let ChatGPT take away our humanity. He's exactly right, okay? You know, ChatGPT writing the jokes. Not a good idea, right? But then he gets on to what I thought was the really... This might be, in my opinion, one of the most important countercultural messages I think I've ever heard a commencement speaker give. And I really appreciate, I say this genuinely, the idiots who were protesting his speech made me go listen to the speech, which I wouldn't have done otherwise, because I was curious, what are they protesting? And I was curious, what did Jerry Seinfeld say? And this one section here, this was the section of the speech that caught my attention the most, because it made me realize a thing that I had heard that I hadn't challenged enough.
About work, you know how they always say nobody ever looks back on their life and wishes they spent more time at the office? Well, why? Why don't they? Guess what? Depends on the job. If you took a stupid job that you find out you hate and you don't leave, that's your fault. Don't blame work. Work is wonderful. I definitely will not be looking back on my life wishing I worked less. If that's not how you feel at work, quit. On your lunch break, disappear. Make people go, what happened to that guy? I don't know. He said he was getting something to eat. Never came back.
Now, it's funny, but... oh, my God. It had never dawned on me, because I believe in the Protestant work ethic. You would say Jerry believes in the Jewish work ethic. I don't really care. It doesn't matter. The point is, We used to have in this country the notion that work was good, that work was virtuous, that work was a way of embodying your purpose in life. That doesn't mean that all work has to be paid. Volunteer work is fantastic. Homemaking work is fantastic. But endeavor, right? Endeavor matters. And then somewhere along the line, we kind of, maybe it's a byproduct of corporatism and, you know, pointless menial jobs that some people do and that they resent or regret or don't find value in or don't see the point of. I mean, I look at a lot of jobs and I think, man, you know, I wouldn't want to be the trash collector, but man, I'm so glad they do that. That is meaningful work. You know, I wouldn't want to clean the floor or the toilet, but man, I'm so glad people do it. That's meaningful work. I wouldn't want to put in roofs in the summer in Pensacola, but God, I'm glad people do it and lay asphalt and pick up power lines and all the things that I wouldn't want to do. But don't ever let somebody convince you that's not meaningful work. That is making the lives of your fellow human beings better. And so much of the time, what's happened is people have gotten themselves either into jobs that they don't see the value of, or they just, you know, they've either made bad choices or they can't, or they've bought into this notion that somehow work is flawed or terrible or evil. Now, it's true. If you neglect family for work, you're going to regret that, sure. But I totally agree with Jerry. You know, I spend a lot of time making this radio show as great as I can make it. I do it because it's rewarding. I do it because I believe in it. I do it because I think it's useful to you, because it's entertaining to you, because, you know, when you get yourself furiously stuck in a traffic jam trying to come into Pensacola on a random Wednesday morning, you know that I put a lot of time into thinking about how to make a show that would entertain you in those extra half hour or 20 minutes that you're going to spend on the road today. I think that's useful. So I don't regret the time that I spend on work because it produces a product that I think is better than anything else out there. Jerry thinks that his comedy is better than anything else out there. So he appreciates and values the time he spent crafting jokes and being on stage and writing on napkins and jotting down ideas. Same thing. And if you think about the value of your work, time spent at work is not something to regret. Time spent at work is something that it's kind of amazing. You get paid to do something cool that's good, that's beneficial to other people. That's what money means. Somebody else thought it was valuable. They give you money for it. You're helping them. Thank you. That's what money is, a thank you. So, yeah, somewhere along the line, and again, I get it, because it was maybe this idea that people neglect their families, and that's a fair concern, but you might regret not doing more for your job if your job is meaningful, or to flip it around like he did it. I don't think I'm going to regret spending time making something that I believe kind of serves God's purpose for me and serves my fellow man in doing this job. And I hope you can find a job like that too. By the way, he was also disabusing people of the notion that there's like this one perfect job out there for you. He says, no, find something you're good at. People will pay you for it. Do it. If you find out you don't believe in it anymore, do something else. Don't quit. Don't keep looking for the one perfect job, because there is no one perfect job. If you become a good person, you can do a lot of different things very, very effectively. So, like I said, I thought that was a really neat moment. Now, there's still a part of this that I haven't had a chance to get to too much, but I'm going to mention it here only because I know the most people of our listening times are listening right now compared to next hour at 8 o'clock. But this was one thing that he mentioned that, particularly for the protesters, they needed to hear.
The one thing I really do care about communicating to you is don't lose your humor. Forget the rest, forget your education, your degree, your privilege. All of you here would do fantastically well without any of it. All of you here, without question, are the best of the best. Just don't lose your humor. It's not an accessory. It's your Stanley Cup water bottle on the brutal long hike of life.
A sense of humor, being able to laugh about it all.
And humor is not just for the stress relief or even just the simple fun of laughing, but for the true perspective of the silliness of all humans and all existence. That's why you don't want to lose it. Try to enjoy some of the dumbness of it all. That's the best life advice I can give you. I wish you luck. I wish you love. Thanks for the phony degree and the ridiculous outfit. Go get him, Duke class of 24. Throw the hat up. Let's get out of here. Congratulations.
Here's why I say that's a message the walker outers needed to hear. I have this theory, okay? You may think I'm wrong, may think I'm crazy, that's fine. But here's my theory. I'm the guy with the microphone at the moment, all right? Text me back if you disagree. I think, having been them and having been among them and around them, I think that people who are really worked up about issues, the kind of people who throw soup on a painting, the kind of people who lay down in a street to stop traffic, to protest racial injustice because they think that kidnapping people on the roads is a good way to, you know, get your cause out. The kind of people that, you know, encamp themselves to protest what they believe to be evil by the government of Israel on a college campus. All of these people, and you see it sometimes on the right as well, okay? I'm not using those examples for the moment. I think these people don't have a sense of humor. What they're missing in life is not that this issue gets fixed. What they're missing in life is the ability to laugh and to laugh at themselves. Life will always be a horror show. Having a little bit of a sense of humor about that is essential. And I think, here's my theory, is that if you go to these encampments, although some of them are breaking up now on college campuses, I don't think you hear a lot of laughter. I think you hear a lot of angry people encouraging other angry people to be angry about all the anger-inducing things in the world. And what they probably need is a little bit more comedy. They'd be better people for it. So when he says keep your sense of humor, don't lose your sense of humor, humor is one of the reasons for doing it. Ironically, that's the message that the people who walked out on him because he was too Jewish for them, because he's a Zionist, he believes in Israel, and they don't. I think that was the point that they would have benefited from hearing, although typically the basic problem is that people with a sense of humor that get told they need to have a sense of humor laugh and enjoy that. People who don't have a sense of humor just get angry at you when you tell them they need a better sense. I don't know that it really works, but I totally agree.